Today is the first Sunday in Advent, which means that today is the first day of the new year according to the church calendar. And today is the first day of a season in which we prepare ourselves for Christmas. The observation of Advent is religious behavior that is somewhat peculiar to churches. And really, most congregations probably don't pay a whole lot of attention to the season. In fact, I've served three congregations as a pastor officially. And in all of my churches, there's always been a caucus among the membership that was lobbying actively to abolish the season of Advent. After all, everywhere else, the socially acceptable start for the Christmas season is the day after Thanksgiving. And even so, American retail doesn't blush at decking the malls sometimes in the middle of October, thereby making Christmas a season that can consume 20% of the calendar. And consumes really is the right word. Early celebrations of the season generally are mercantile in nature and have very little to do with giving expression to any kind of spiritual longing. But still, once Thanksgiving is past us, Christmas celebrations seem kind of legit, even for a staunchly religious person like myself. So why Advent? Why not start singing Silent Night right now? After all, we are dreaming of a white Christmas outside of the church. Shouldn't the spirituality we practice inside the church correspond with the lives we live when it isn't Sunday? After all, that's what we do here at Montclair Presbyterian Church, right? We try to have a relevant faith. So, why are we doing Advent at all? Isn't celebrating Advent a little bit out of step? Maybe. But here's why I think Advent is important. When we observe Advent, we acknowledge that the joy of Christmas, and indeed all the joy of all of the great promises of our faith, when we celebrate Advent, we acknowledge that this joy is not yet fully realized. Indeed, what we experience at Christmas is but a foretaste, a promise, and that means that the practice of our faith is as much about hope as it is about belief. Our faith is as much about dreaming as it is about doctrine. Our faith calls us to live lives of love that is infused with longing. And while the church's observation of Advent may seem out of step with what everyone else is doing right now, I actually think we are giving language to what most people are really feeling this time of year. Because, well, chestnuts may be roasting on the open fire, and silver bells may be ringing in the city, and underemployed actors may be dressed as elves and ushering children to Santa's laps in malls all over the country. Still, most people, whether they know it or not, most people are actually celebrating Advent right now and not Christmas. And if you doubt me, look at the secular Christmas carols that dominate the cultural soundtrack this time of year. Bing Crosby doesn't sing about how great it is to be experiencing a snowy Christmas. He's dreaming of a white Christmas. And in another song, Bing Crosby sings of getting home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Frosty the Snowman melts, But he tells us not to cry because he'll be back again someday. And speaking of snow, when was the last time you saw a sleigh with jingle bells, especially at Christmas? It is a fact that most of the United States is not covered with snow on Christmas. According to that great weather scientist, Dr. Google, January is by far the snowiest month, not December. And besides, most places don't actually get snow, right? All that imagery, that wintry imagery we employ at Christmas, the sleigh bells, the fake snow, the Santa hats, that's all an expression of longing and hope. That's Advent. We're longing for a day when the bitter cold will be transformed into a beautiful wonderland. And we hope that we will find comfort and light in this, the darkest season of the year. Or consider the films we watch. It's a Wonderful Life. Now that is an Advent film, if ever there was one. We watch that film and we long for the days when good guys like George Bailey actually win. When greed, personified in the character of Mr. Potter, is overcome by human kindness. When awkward angels finally get their wings. Or think about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We watch that movie and we hope to live in a world where a bullied kid grows up and saves the day. Where an elf can grow up to be a dentist. Where a lost prospector finally gets his gold. Where the monster is defanged and becomes good. And where no one ever has to live on the island of misfit toys. This, dearly beloved, is Advent. That's not Christmas, because we're not there yet. But we hope, we dream. To celebrate Advent is to hear the words of the prophet, "Comfort, you my people, says your God. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked straight." Now this promise, this is really not an expression of hostility towards topography. Rather, this promise is a promise that the prophet spoke to people living in exile. And the promise was this: you shall return from exile. You shall go back to the home of your parents and to the land of your ancestors. And when you go, the road that was so rough getting here, that road is going to be easy and straight. Now, that promised return happened. Jewish exiles living in Babylon returned to Judea. But for us, the metaphorical promise of returning from an exile of worry and sadness and stress back to a home of peaceful joy, that promise hasn't happened yet. It's still a promise. It's not yet something we own. But when the promise fills us with longing and hope, that longing and hope are like a down payment on the fulfillment of the promise. We do not yet have full possession of the hope that is promised, but we're getting there. We will yet live alongside our neighbors in a just harmony. We will yet know peace. The darkness may now surround us, but we will yet see the light shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome the light. Our hearts may now be heavy with sadness, but joy is waiting for us in the wings. We don't own these promises, but by grace, we have made a down payment. And the days are surely coming when we will take full possession of what now we only claim by faith. That is the hope of Advent. That is why we sing songs of praise as the choir is doing for us this morning. That is why we take communion as we will do later in the celebration. We praise God now, not because life is perfect, but rather because life can be good. We take communion now not because our knowledge of God's grace among us is fully realized, but because we know that in time, our hearts, like the whole earth, will be filled with God's love. Christ will surely be born among us. And in the fullness of time, our joy will be complete. Amen.